The Chicago Theater of the Air. By Marion Clare, conducted by Henry Weber, written and directed by Jack LaFrandre, Mutual presents radio's greatest hour of music and drama, the famous Chicago Theater of the Air. Tonight's full-hour production, Puccini's endearing grand opera classic, Madame Butterfly, starring Nancy Carr as Cho-Cho San, David Poleri as Lieutenant Pinkerton, Ruth Slater as Suzuki, and Louis Sedler as Sharpless, with the chorus under the direction of Robert Trendler. Featured speaker of the evening is to be Colonel Robert R. McCormick, editor and publisher of the Chicago Tribune. Ladies and gentlemen, before our curtain rises this evening, we think it quite appropriate that we mention the fact that seated in our theater audience tonight are five of Grand Opera's great stars of the past. These distinguished artists are here with us to commemorate this month's 25th anniversary of Giacomo Puccini's death. And it is with great pleasure that we welcome Mary Garden, who has done more toward the furtherance of opera in this country than almost any other person, and Edith Mason, Claire Dux, Rosa Raiza, and Giacomo Rimini, all of whom have starred in Madame Butterfly performances in the past. Mary Garden, Edith Mason, Claire Dux, Rosa Raiza, and Giacomo Rimini. Dedicated to these great stars and to the memory and artistry of Giacomo Puccini, the Chicago Theater of the Air presents for your pleasure, Madame Butterfly.
Tiny dwelling standing against the sky, standing high on the summit of a flower-laden hill, set like a jewel in multicolored gardens, as if painted on the heavens by an elfin hand. Below, a glistening harbor makes a pathway to the sea, harbor of Nagasaki, metropolis of Japan, where gather men and ships from strange and distant lands. Behold again this dwelling on the summit of a hill, for here events will soon take place, and here our story will unfold. This is the cottage of honeymoon dreams, where dwell the hopes of Cho-Cho-San, little Japanese butterfly, betrothed to B.F. Pinkerton, American naval officer. On the terrace of this house of dreams, two men discuss their future plans. Pinkerton, expectant bridegroom-to-be, and Sharpless, consul from the USA. The younger, carefree, the world his love. The best and the fairest from every land, his philosophy. The older, more prudent. Marriage is sacred, not to be treated as a temporary lark, a brief vacation until his ship sails westward. So they argue, one to the other.
Brothers, looking for country.
That's an easy-going manner.
And the home of his maid.
An easy-going manner that makes life very pleasant. What is people in the end?
Fashion tied for 999 years. Three, though two, and all the marriage must be
an easy-going
Western love flavors the words of Pinkerton. Why do you question the law of the land? 'Tis ordained that from my butterfly I may part at each month's end. Cancel my option, so it is writ, as I may cancel a lease at home. But Sharpless is no way convinced. Which law do you think right to follow? That of man or that of the heart? Your little butterfly hangs in the balance.
If love or fancy, I cannot tell you. All that I know is she with her innocent charm has entranced me. Almost transparently fragile and slender, dainty in stature, quaint little figure, seems to have stepped out straight from a painting. But from her back, from a varnish and lager, sudden delight and a feathery flutter, and like a
the hill, Chojo-san and her female cousin, little butterfly of Japan, fluttering twixt the sea and sky, drawing nearer to her passion's flame on gossamer wings of song. Comes the trusting Chojo-san. Welcome, master. Oh, guest, welcome. Didn't I, master, welcome, cousin?
Hey, old Marty.
Welcome, too, for Mr. Sharpless. Oh, guestly welcome. Say so, cousin.
Guestly welcome, I know.
A frown comes o'er the face of Sharpless. Just a child, the age of playthings. A nursery should be her lot instead of wearing bridal wreath. Ay, Sharpless, so speaks Pinkerton. The age of playthings and of sweetmeats. Others now ascend the hill. Commissioner of marriage vows, and registrar, official scribe, and relatives to seal the bargain. Behold now little Chojo-san, in her eye a shimmering tear. In giving myself, my heart is glad, but in forsaking my religion, clouds of fear cast shadows on my soul.
My feet, I have to
are blown away in ecstasy of love. Faith of the East becomes faith of the West. For me, you spend 100 yen, Honorable B.F. Pinkerton. For you, I renounce my faith in people. Before them now, the High Commissioner, and their sacred vows are spoken. The bride has signed, the bridegroom too, man and wife, all is settled.
Dear Madam Pinkerton, late Madam B.F. Pinkerton.
When happiness should reign supreme, then are the skies so apt to thunder. Voice of ever-changing fate sounding forth in words of fury. Chotosan, thou art condemned. Chotosan, abomination. It is the Bonsai, Lord High Priest, setting forth his ancient doctrine. Before our great ancestral gods, thou hast embraced the Christian faith. Thou hast renounced our fathers' fathers. So we renounce thee, Chotosan.
Shame, Chotosan.
Chotosan, may thy wicked soul suffer torments everlasting.
Shame, Chotosan.
Hear now the words of Pinkerton. Hear not, little butterfly. In the stars that rise above is the light of my love. In their heavenly wake across the harbor is the golden scepter of my faith. Fear not, little butterfly. As heaven above watches o'er the earth below, so my love, eternal vigilance, will keep.
Is shining. Now you belong to me. So radiant and lily white raiment and love in the flow of your tresses on snowy white garments.
I am like the moon and the goddess, the myth of the god who
in our hearts.
When she takes them and shares them in the flood, that which she lives
with, will then find a flood. Oh, dearest, as yet you have not told me, not yet. My God, now knows the sweet words I am longing to hear.
Oh,
This is an original Chicago Theater of the Air production of Puccini's endearing grand opera favorite, Madame Butterfly, starring Nancy Carr, David Poleri, Ruth Slater, and Louis Sudler, with the orchestra conducted by Henry Weber and narration by Marion Clare. This production will continue following a featured radio commentary by Colonel Robert R. McCormick, distinguished editor and publisher of the Chicago Tribune, noted world historian, and outspoken American patriot. Tonight, Colonel McCormick will review the Great Chicagoland Music Festival, as described by a correspondent from a foreign land. Ladies and gentlemen, Colonel Robert R. McCormick.
Spectators and radio listeners to our recent 20th annual Chicagoland Music Festival, I am sure, will be interested in the broadcast of Mr. Ilias Venizis, a Greek columnist, to his people back home. It was part of a shortwave series which he called Impressions of America. This is a translation of Mr. Venizis' remarks. I was present at the Chicagoland Music Festival this year, an event presented annually by the Chicago Tribune. It was something unbelievable and colossal at the same time. First of all, when you hear the word festival, don't think that it means a narrow circle of people performing a mystic musical rite, even though such things do exist here. The Chicago Music Festival is a folk festival, and its purpose is to reach many people. Everything here in America comes from the people, strength, for example, and everything goes to them. That's why each artistic expression has this purpose in mind, to reach and affect the masses if it can. This, of course, has dangers, but it also has greatness. Art must reach the strong man, the swift man, the restless man of this country, the man who works hard and persistently. Art and the happiness that help which it gives him must reach him. Otherwise, what point has it? Night was falling. The cool breezes were blowing off Lake Michigan nearby, as people began drifting into Soldiers Field. Imagine a gigantic stadium, 5 or 6 times larger than our own. Imagine a crowd of 100,000 people, a third of which came in their own automobiles. Imagine this mass of people and automobiles, both of which had to find places for themselves in the stadium and in the parking lot within a half hour. So this great crowd of machines and people found places for themselves quietly, with orderliness, I might even say with a certain rhythm. From high up, from the glass-enclosed newspaper men's booth, to which I had been invited, I watched the spectacle. It was inconceivable. The turf was green. It was American soil. At one end of the stadium's platform were the performers. 10,000 people had come from 35 states and Canada. Girls dressed in vari-colored gowns, long native dresses, dancers, girls in red and white costumes, with gold buttons and pom-poms, were circling along the side of the green turf. These thousands of performers, bands, dancers, singers, choirs of the best in the land, selected through local contests and now representing their states in the contest which select the best male and female voice of the year. Around them, the mass of humanity, the audience, they leaned forward towards the tremendous open field as though praying to it to give them joy. At last the hour came. At 7 o'clock, Philip Maxwell said welcome to the audience and performers. The evening started. A male choir sang James Roadways. A thousand-voiced Negro choir sang I Stood by the River Gordon. Gigantic searchlights lighted the stadium. The stars of the festival came out. They came in three open cars, drove to the center of the arena while the speaker announced their name, and were welcomed with enthusiastic applause by the audience. Lawrence Melchior of the Metropolitan. Nancy Carr, soprano prima donna of the Chicago Theater of the Air, accompanied by Mrs. Royden Keith, president of the National Federation of Music Clubs, and Elena Nicolaides, soprano favorite of our native Greece. Melchior, Mrs. Keith, and Mrs. Nicolaides made up the final jury which would pass judgment on this year's best singers. The finalists sang. There were those who had been selected by local contests. There weren't even names, there were numbers. Two whites and two Negroes. The people applauded and the judges withdrew. Then the first band, composed of boys and girls dressed in red and white, came into the bare field. They played as they marched along, making various formations. The leader untiringly kept tossing his human baton into the air. He would catch it as it came down. He whirled it like a living thing. The audience applauded generously. Then 500 girls dressed all in white began dancing Hawaiian style. But now it's 9 o'clock. A full hour of the festival goes on the air. A tremendous American flag is slowly unfurled. It is the width of the stadium. The choirs and the mass of people begin singing their tradition song, America the Beautiful. The crowd warms up and begins to take part in the celebration. Al Jolson sings a song in his inimitable style. Melchior sings old student songs much loved by the people. The whole stadium now takes part in the celebration. The results of the competition are announced by Melchior. The crowd applauds. A 3,000 voice chorus sings the Hallelujah chorus from Handel's Messiah. The crowd listens standing up and sings quietly. Then something very simple yet very surprising took place. Bells began playing. The speaker gave the signal 1, 2, 3. And on the count of three, matches were lighted. Each person in the crowd of 100,000 lighted a match. 100,000 matches were lighted, and wavering flames became stars in the darkness. It was inconceivably beautiful. The crowd began shouting enthusiastically. And when the searchlights were turned on again, 2,000 boys and girls dressed in their colorful native clothes began an old-fashioned folk dance. A quadrille. All together in very small groups. They danced round and round in the green grass like a fairy tale. At last the bands came in. 21 bands from different cities in different brilliant costumes, with the girls leading them. Girls who had their small silver twirling rods in action, tossing them up in the air and catching them. The band were playing joyous songs, and fireworks lighted up the sky with trees of fire and fantastic stars. A Statue of Liberty appeared. Gigantic fiery letters appeared in the darkness, spelling out Land of the Free, while the music with 100,600 instruments played the American national anthem, and the crowd stood on its feet and sang. The Chicagoland Music Festival was a little like that which I have tried to describe to you, a people's celebration. It was nearly midnight. The people's faces expressed happiness. The waves of bodies began leaving with the same rhythm with which they had come. Everything is quiet. The breath of wind coming in off the lake can be heard on the leaves of the trees, and the deserted stadium's Doric columns. The people that were here tonight near the waters of the lake while at work tomorrow will recall tonight's happiness. What better result can the art of music have?
Speaking from the stage of the Chicago Theater of the Air, Colonel Robert R. McCormick, editor and publisher of the Chicago Tribune, has translated a Greek correspondent's description of the recent Chicagoland Music Festival. Free copies of this significant article may be obtained by writing to the Mutual Broadcasting System, Chicago 11, Illinois. At this time, we continue tonight's Chicago Theater of the Air production of Puccini's Madame Butterfly, starring Nancy Carr, David Poleri, Ruth Slater, and Louis Sudler, with the orchestra conducted by Henry Weber and narration by Marion Clare.
Nagasaki, halfway to the sea. Behold a lonesome butterfly looking outward toward the west, seeking in vain a ship long since departed from these shores. Seeking in vain a ship that bore her husband to the horizon too soon to witness his baby's birth. Hear now the words of Chocho-san spoken to the maid Suzuki, spoken in plaintive tones of faith. How sweet were his words of parting. Butterfly, little child wife, with the roses I will return in the warm and sunny season when nest the red-breasted robins. I will return. Three times the robins nested, and three times the ship of America failed to come. Say after me, Suzuki, he will return. He will return.
Thank you.
guess what he'll say. He will call butterfly from far away. I, without answering, hold myself to quietly conceal a bit to tease him and a bit. Words of butterfly, words of faith unshaken. Receive our child, Tutuki, as your eyes, lips like the petal of the rose, and head of golden curls. His honorable father's image unseen by my master's eyes. How sweetly my husband said it, as heaven above watches o'er the earth below, so my love eternal vigilance will keep. From the harbor, the voice of the cannon. From the hilltop, the voice of Cho-Cho-San.
Tutuki, look! The ship of America! The gods have answered! C.F. Pinkerton is here!
Heaven, wind, and the garden will appear.
the minute, the hour. The ship still rides at mooring. Night has swept away the gloaming. We will wait, my baby and I. We will wait, Suzuki. My wedding dress, please, Suzuki. A touch of carmine for my lips. A scarlet poppy for my hair. We will wait, my baby and I. See the moonlight on the water. Along that great path of gold, he will walk once more into my heart. The dawn has swept away the moon and stars. A great sun smiles down from the heavens. The ship still rides at anchor. Suzuki, it is daylight. We must have slept, my baby and I. Suzuki, you think he will not come? But we have faith, my baby and I. We have faith. Figures on the terrace, Suzuki the maid and Pinkerton the husband. She sleeps, Honorable B.F. Pinkerton. Your butterfly sleeps. All night she and baby have waited your coming. Now the earnest voice of Sharpless joins the others on the terrace. Hear now, Pinkerton, you must tell her. Too long have you held back the truth. Tell her you will take the child to be cared for by your wife at home. Now behold Suzuki's horror, spectre of fear and one of sorrow. By my ancestors' hallowed souls, across the world, the shades of doom. Now the men are left alone. Suzuki gone with dreaded message. Memories come to haunt the husband. Ghosts of a love forsaken now. Requested by another arrival from across the sea, little Madam Butterfly speaks now to her maid Suzuki. Neath the blue vault of heaven, Suzuki, neath the blue vault of heaven, no woman is happier than she. Tell Honorable B.F. Pinkerton to come for his baby son when next the hour is halfway. Before the image of Buddha Suzuki, the sacred dagger of my people. Beloved baby, farewell. My son, born of heaven, farewell. Your mother forsakes you now.
Amen.
fateful hour for Cho-Cho-San. On the sacred dagger of her fathers, an ancient legend, the faithful gospel of her people. When one can no longer live with honor, better then to die with honor.
By Jasper Andre. This has been an original Chicago Theater of the Air production of Puccini's Madame Butterfly, starring Nancy Carr in the title role, David Poleri as Pinkerton, Ruth Slater as Soup Rookie, and Louis Sutler as Shapless. The chorus was under the direction of Robert Sendler. Featured speaker was Colonel Robert R. McCormick, editor and publisher of the Chicago Tribune. This is Lee Bennett, ladies and gentlemen, cordially inviting you to next week's Chicago Theater of the Air feature production, The Great Venetian Satire by Gilbert and Sullivan, The Gondoliers, starring Anja Cusack, Ruth Slater, John Carter, Bruce Foot, and John Barclay. Make your reservations with the Mutual Station on your dial. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.